بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. In the last number of sessions, Ikhwan, we have been discussing the muqaddimat or the affairs that occurred prior to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم becoming a messenger, prior to him receiving wahi, receiving revelation, and receiving the first of the verses from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the last session we discussed the affair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the qissa or the story of the shaqq al-sadr and the splitting of the chest of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you remember prior to that we discussed his birth, those who had taken care of him while he was yet a child, the story and the affair of his wet nurses, the likes of Tuwayba, Ayman, the daughter likewise of Halima Sa'diyah, Halima binti Abi Dhuayb. As you mentioned, that Halima, there is some skepticism concerning the establishment of her being from his wet nurses in terms of the establishment of the name. But of course, Ikhwan, in relation to the riwayat and the statements of Ahl al-Tariq and the scholars of history, then all of them mention, almost without fail, mention Halima al-Sa'diyah. All of them without fail mention Halima al-Sa'diyah. But as we mentioned, Ikhwan, in terms of the establishment of the name, then in our time there are in terms of what we have authentic is that we have that he was suckled by a woman from Banu Sa'd, and Halima, it is mentioned, is that and was that woman. So we don't make inkar of the usage of the name. What we say in terms of the text that establishes it, then it is yet to be established by way of a text that we have in our time that is authentic. But as we mentioned throughout time, the scholars of history and Siyar and Maghazi, all of them mention Halima Sa'diyah, Halima binti Abi Dhuayb. Similarly, the daughter of Halima is mentioned as being from among the wet nurses of the Messenger of Allah, Shayma. And we mention Thuwayba, whose name is established in Sahih al-Bukhari. We went on to mention then that the Prophet ﷺ at the age of 4, his chest was split by two angels who came in the form of birds. They split his chest and washed his chest with zamzam and with thalj, with ice water, and removed his heart and washed his heart and filled his chest with sakina. And it was on the basis of that, when that occurred, and the children who were with him, yani his brother from breastfeeding, and the other children who were with him, when they witnessed that, they became afraid. The Prophet ﷺ himself, when he was sewn back together by those angels, he too became afraid. And the instance similarly caused fear in the heart of his witness from Banu Sa'd, yani Halima. And so on the basis of it, she returned the Prophet ﷺ back to his mother, Amina. And we mentioned, Ikhwan, the fact that the mother of the Messenger ﷺ passed away in Abwa. He was taken into custody by Abu Talib, by Abdul Muttalib, Afwan, by Abdul Muttalib, who, when the Prophet ﷺ was 8 years old, passed away. And I believe it was at that point that we left last week, that the Prophet ﷺ was then taken into the custody of Abu Talib. Abu Talib was the choice of Abdul Muttalib to be the one who would take on the responsibility and the kafala of the Prophet ﷺ, because of the fact that Abu Talib was the full brother of the father of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah. The full brother of the father of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah, was Abu Talib. And so Abdul Muttalib, he chose Abu Talib as the one who should be in custody of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his death. And so it was Abu Talib that took over the custody of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as it relates to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam being in the custody of Abu Talib, then there are a number of narrations that have occurred concerning that, and perhaps the most popular and well known is Hadithat al-Sham. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was with Abu Talib and in the custody of Abu Talib, as we mentioned, he was in his custody from the age of 8. And when he reached the age of 12, as the mu'arrikhun and as the scholars of Sirah mention, when he reached the age of 12, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled with Abu Talib to Sham. And the journey to Sham, as we mentioned, Ikhwan Quraysh would undertake a journey to Sham twice a year for the purpose of tijara and for the purpose of business. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled on an occasion with his uncle Abu Talib, who was now in charge and in custody of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the region of Sham. When he traveled to the region of Sham with Abu Talib, they came across and they met a man of knowledge from the people of the book, a man known as Bahira. Bahira Ikhram, when he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is a hadith that we'll mention, it's one of the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, and it is, though a part of the hadith is not established, the hadith, the sum total of the hadith is authentic. It was authenticated by Sheikh al-Albani and others. And that is that we have the mention that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, he mentioned, خرج أبو طالب إلى الشام وخرج معه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في أشياخ من قريش فلما أشرفوا على الراهب وكانوا قبل ذلك يمرون به فلا يخرج إليهم ولا يلتفت قال فهم يحلون رحالهم فجعل يتخلل الراهب حتى جاء فأخذ بيد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال هذا سيد العالمين هذا رسول رب العالمين يبعثه الله رحمة للعالمين فقال له الأشياخ من قريش ما علمك. He mentioned that indeed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, on an occasion Abu Talib, he left and traveled to Sham, and the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم traveled with him among a number of the elders of Quraysh. So when they came across the Rahib, they came across the Rahib, or this priest and this man of knowledge from the men of the people of the book. And prior to this, يعني Bahira, he paid no attention to them. They would come, they would travel, they would visit, and he would never pay any attention to them or turn towards them. As far as he was concerned, then they are from the Mushrikun, they were pagans, and so he had no concern for them, and that is well known. He said, prior to that, he paid them no attention. He wouldn't turn towards them. They would come, where they would bring their riding beasts and what have you, and their caravans, and he would pay no attention to them, except upon this occasion. And that is when Abu Talib, he came to Sham with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On that occasion, Ikhwan, Abu Bahira, he left his place of residence and came to them quickly. He came to them, يعني, with haste. And then he held on to the hand of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while they were feeding and watering their camels. He held on to the hand of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Hada Sayyidul Alameen." He said, this is the Sayyidul Alameen, or this is the head or the leader of all of the worlds. He said, هذا رسول رب العالمين. This is the messenger of the Lord of all the worlds. Allah Azza wa Jal has sent him as a mercy to all the worlds. And so the Ashiyakh and the Shuyukh of Quraysh, the elders and the notables from among them. They said, "Ma ilmuk?" They said, "What and what makes you know that that is the case? I mean, what is it? What knowledge do you have that makes you say and make that statement?" He said, "فَقَالَ إِنَّكُمْ هِينَ أَشْرَفْتُمْ مِنَ الْعَقَبَ لَمْ يَبْقَ شَجَرَ وَلَا هَجَرْ لَمْ يَبْقَ شَجَرْ وَلَا هَجَرْ إِلَّا خَرَّ سَاجِدًا وَلَا يَسْجُدَانِ إِلَّا لِنَبِيٍّ." He said, "Verily from the place or from Aqaba," which is a place on the outskirts, on the borders of Makkah, "from Aqaba, verily you did not pass, you have not passed a rock or a tree except that it has made prostration for you." And that does not happen except for a prophet. That was something that Bahira, being a man of the book and a man of scripture, he was acquainted with, that being from the characteristics of prophets and messengers, that the trees, shrubs, rocks bow to those prophets and to those messengers. So he said, "As you were journeying, you did not pass a place except that the rocks and the trees, and they prostrated." He said, "And that does not happen except for a prophet." He said, "وَإِنِّي أَعْرِفُهُ بِخَاتَمَ النُّبُوَّةِ أَسْفَلَ مِنْ غُدْرُوفِ كَتَفِهِ مِثْلَ التُّفَّاحَ." He said, "And I know that he is the prophet because of the seal of prophethood that is upon his back." We discussed the seal of prophethood that was upon his back, which was like a small quail's egg. Here he mentions tufaha, like a small apple, but it was like a small quail's egg. And some narrations mentioned that it was speckled, that there were speckles, or there were marks upon it, which was known to be the seal of prophethood, that the final prophet that the Yehud were waiting for, he would have this mark on his back. He said, "I know that he's a prophet because he has that mark upon his back. And the trees and the rocks prostrate to him as you were traveling." Perhaps they didn't recognize him, perhaps they didn't notice, but it was something that he observed as they were walking and as they were traveling. He said, "So that does not happen except to a Nabi, and I've seen the mark of prophethood upon his back." He said, "ثُمَّ رَجَعَ فَصَنَعَ لَهُمْ طَعَامًا." And then he went back to his resident, he made food for them, and he came back. He said, "فَلَمَّا أَتَاهُمْ بِهِ وَكَانَ هُوَ فِي رَعِيَّةِ الْإِبِلِ قَالَ أَرْسِلُوا إِلَيْهِ فَأَقْبَلَ وَعَلَيْهِ غُمَّامَةٌ تُذِلُّهُ." He said that when he came back, the Prophet ﷺ was among the servants and among those who were were looking after the sheep. He said, or looking after the riding beasts. He said, so he called upon him, and as the Prophet ﷺ walked, he was shaded by a cloud. When he observed him walking, he could see a cloud over him, shading him from the sun. And so when he saw that, he said, "فَلَمَّا دَنَا مِنَ الْقَوْمِ وَجَدَهُمْ قَدْ سَبَقُوهُ فِي ذِلِّ الشَّجَرَةِ." When the Prophet ﷺ came to the gathering, and he walked for a distance to the gathering. When the Prophet ﷺ reached the gathering, he arrived at the gathering, and the gathering was under a large tree. And that tree, the people had already taken all of its shade. And so naturally, the nature of the tree is that the branches and the bushes, people sit in the area of the tree that is giving shade. So the people had already occupied all of the areas of shade. So the Prophet ﷺ came walking over with that which resembled a cloud over his head, sheltering him from the sun. So when he came to the tree, he said, "انظروا إلى فيء الشجرة ما لا عليه." He said, "Look at the shadow of the tree. It turned and it leaned towards him." Look at the tree and its shade. It leaned towards him where he sat. And so he said, فَلَمَّا جَلَسَ مَالَ فَيْءُ الشَّجَرَ عَلَيْهِ. He said, قال فَبَيْنَمَا هُوَ قَائِمٌ عَلَيْهِ وَهُوَ يُنَاشِدُهُمْ أَنْ لَا يَذْهَبُوا بِهِ إِلَى الرُّومِ فَإِنَّ الرُّومِ إِذَا رَأَوْهُ عَرَفُوهُ بِالصِّفَةِ فَيَقْتُلُونَهُ. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he saw that and when he observed that, he said to them, and it's Quraysh, whatever you do, do not go to the Romans with him. Don't go to anywhere near Rome with him. He said, because indeed if the Romans, they come across him, they shall know him from his signs, and they shall kill him. Because the Romans, Ikhwan, and the various kingdoms, or the various regions within the kingdom of the Romans, and the empire of the Romans, were occupied by Yahud, were occupied by the people of the book, particularly Yahud. And Yahud, Ikhwan, and that was from the time of Isa ibn Maryam, and prior to that, and they were well acquainted with the messenger that they were waiting for. They were waiting for a messenger, and were very well acquainted with him. And so they would know that this indeed was the messenger that they were waiting for. We mentioned the narration that they had witnessed the sign, or they had witnessed the star of Nubuwwah, the star of prophethood, appear. So they knew he had appeared. And they were acquainted with the fact that he was present, that he was born. And so they were acquainted then with the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, and they knew through the presence of the Yahud who were present in their region, they were familiar with the sifat and with the characteristics of that Prophet, how he would be, and that which would occur with him. They were familiar with that. They knew what would happen and how his characteristics would be. And so he said, whatever you do, do not travel to Rome with him. He said, because verily if the Romans see him, they shall know him by his signs, and they shall kill him. Some narrations mention that that was because of the fact that the Yahud, they would, if they saw him, and they saw his sifat, they saw the signs of prophethood upon him, and they saw that he was not from them, that jealousy would overcome them, and they would kill him. They would rid the earth of him. As they killed prophets and messengers prior to the Prophet ﷺ, they killed Isa ibn, they killed Yahya, and they fought against, with an intent to kill Isa. But Allah Azza wa Jalla saved him from that. They beheaded Yahya. And so they knew, yani, and Bahira, he knew that if the Romans were to come across him, and the Jews were to come across him, that they would kill him, because they would be filled with jealousy due to the fact that he was not from their lineage. They were expecting him to be among them. And so if they knew and they recognized that he was not from them, he was an Arab from the lineage of Ismail, then they would be filled with jealousy and they would kill him. So he said, do not travel towards them. And he knew the nature of the people. He said, فَالْتَفَتْ فَإِذَا بِسَبْعَةٍ قَدْ أَقْبَلُوا مِنَ الرُّومِ فَاسْتَقْبَلَهُمْ فَقَالَ مَا جَاءَ بِكُمْ قال جئنا إن هذا النبي خالج في هذا الشهر. He said, so when he turned, after he said that to them, he turned away. And when he turned, he was confronted by 7 Romans. After he made the statement, he was confronted by 7 Romans. And so when he saw them, being familiar with them, he said, what has brought you here? Why are you here? And so they said, we come because we know the Prophet is present here, that he will be here this month. How they knew, if one, how they were familiar with that, Allahu A'lam. He mentioned that we know that the Prophet will be here this month. And so he said to them, after they made that statement, وَلَمْ يَبْقَ طَرِيقٌ إِلَّا بَعَثَ إِلَيْهِ بِأُنَاسٍ وَأَنَا قَدْ أَخْبَرَنَا خَبْرُهُ بُعِثْنَا إِلَى طَرِيقِكَ هَذَا فَقَالَ هَلْ خَلْفَكُمْ أَحَدٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْكُمْ. He said that they said to him, that we are familiar with the fact that he has appeared and that he will be in this region and in this direction. And so we were sent to search for him. And so he said to them, and is there behind you anyone better than you? And so they said, نعم, they said, إِنَّمَا أَخْبَرَنَا خَبْرُهُ بِطَرِيقِكَ هَذَا قَالَ أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ أَمْرًا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَقْدِيَهُ هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ رَدَّا. He said that, they said, they responded by saying, indeed, we have been sent upon this mission and we have been informed of the fact that he will come in this path of yours. And so he responded to them by saying, if Allah Azza wa Jal had decreed an affair and wanted an affair, is there anyone that can turn and that can repel that? And so they responded by saying, no. And so he said to them, فَبَايِعُوا وَأَقَامُوا مَعَ. So they said, he said to them, then give him your pledge of allegiance and remain with him. And he aid him. That is, don't carry out what you've been sent to do, which was to take him and to take him as captive. Like, give him your pledge of allegiance. He's from Allah Azza wa Jal. Aid him. And so they took a pact with Bahira that they would not harm the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so they went back to Abu Talib and they said, Na'am. So after giving that pact, they returned back to Abu Talib, and he did not cease encouraging them to return. That is, go back. And you don't proceed upon this journey of yours, that you should go back. حتى رده أبو طالب وبعث معه أبو بكر وبعث معه أبو بكر بلالا وزوده الراهب من الكعك والزيت. He mentions, and so Abu Talib, he returned with him, and Abu Bakr sent alongside him Bilal. وزوده and the rahib, he gave him cake and dates and olives. Concerning the narration, Ahl al-Hadith from among you should recognize that there is an issue. And that is, the statement at the end of the narration, and that is the statement at the end of the narration, that Abu Talib, he sent, or that Abu Bakr sent Bilal with him. Mushkila. Since the Prophet ﷺ was 2 years younger, Abu Bakr was 2 years younger than the Messenger ﷺ. And it is possible that Bilal radiallahu anhu was not even born yet. And so this statement and this jumla and this sentence is a mushkila within the hadith. And on the basis of it, Al-Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he rejects the hadith in completion. And he says, rejecting the hadith from a point of view of this issue, and also he rejects it from a point of view of other issues. Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala, after mentioning its chain and mentioning those who have collected it, he said, وَأَيْنَ كَانَ أَبُو بَكَرٍ. Where was Abu Bakr at that time? He said, وَكَانَ ibn عَشْرِ سِنِينَ. He would have been 10 years old. Since the Prophet ﷺ was 12, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would have been 10. So how is Abu Bakr commanding Bilal to accompany him and so on? He said he would have been 10 years old. فَإِنَّهُ أَصْغَرْ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِسَنَتَيْنِ وَنِسْفِ. He was 2.5 years younger than the Prophet ﷺ. So how could Abu Bakr possibly have this sentence, how could it have occurred? وَأَيْنَ كَانَ بِلَالٍ فِي هَذَا الْوَقْتِ. He said, what was Bilal? فَإِنَّ أَبَا بَكْرٍ لَمْ يَشْتَرِيهِ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْمَبْعَثِ. Because verily Abu Bakr didn't purchase him until after the Prophet ﷺ became a messenger. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ وُلِدَ بَعْدٍ, and he was not born yet, as far as this hadith and this narration is concerned. And then he goes on to mention and discuss this affair of the clouds sheltering him. He said, if the cloud was sheltering him, then why would the shade of the tree need to follow him? This is another issue. On the basis then of this, and among other issues, he rejects the hadith outright. But what is most correct, and is the position of a number of Ahlul Hadith, is that the hadith is authentic, and that is the position of Sheikh Nasir, and likewise the position of a number of the A'imma of hadith, that the hadith is authentic except for that jumla, or except for the statement that he was accompanied by Abu Bakr, or the Afwan, that Abu Bakr sent Bilal with him. That they hold that the narration is authentic except for that statement. Sheikh Nasir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, وَإِعْلَالُ الْحَدِيثِ بِأَنَّ فِيهِ ذِكْرُ أَبُو بَكْرٍ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَبِلَالٍ وَكَانَ عُمْرُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ إِذَّاقْ تِسْعَ أَوْ أَشَرَةٍ إنما هي دعوة مبنية على أن عمره يومئذ 12, وهذا غير محفوظ, فإنه إنما ذكره مقيدا بهذا الواقدي كما قال المؤلف, والواقدي متروك متهم, فمن الممكن أن تكون القصة وقعت بعد ذلك بسنين, فلا يجوز إعلالها بمثل هذا أو بمثل قول الواقدي المنكر. He said, this argument, yani the argument that is used to reject the narration, is based upon the fact that the Prophet ﷺ was 12. And that is not taken except from a narration that was collected by al-Waqidi, and that has al-Waqidi in its chain. And Waqidi is an abandoned narrator, he's matruk. And so, to reject the hadith based upon a statement made by Waqidi is something that is that Ahlul Hadith would not do, since the affair could have occurred many years later. And elsewhere, the affair in terms of the isnad, then Sheikh Nasir, he declares the isnad of the hadith Hassan. He authenticates and declares it Hassan. And as does Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi and others, other than this jumla, other than this statement that he sent Bilal, or that Abu Bakr sent Bilal with him. So everything that is present within the hadith, there isn't any issue with anything else. That he went and visited Bahira, Bahira saw the signs upon him, they saw the cloud following him and the tree, the shade of the tree moving towards him, there is no issue with that, no problem with that. Even if the cloud was following him and then the shade followed him of the tree, then there is no problem with that. And there is nothing untoward about that occurring. And that is possible, that the cloud followed him and the shade of the tree leaned towards him, just as they saw the rocks and the trees making sajda. Particularly, ikhwan, since the narration is authentic in terms of its isnad, it is sahih. Therefore, if it is sahih, then ala al-ayni wa al-ra's, we accept it, and we hold that it is a narration, ikhwan, that is authentic. And so that is from the earliest of the signs, or the earlier of the signs of the nubuwa of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from the affairs that caused Quraysh to know that he was special. And there was something about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that even the people of the book and the people of knowledge, who they, yani the Mushrikun of Quraysh, though they were Mushrikun, they still respected the people of the book. And so they recognized that the Prophet ﷺ, yani there was something that was special about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the affairs, ikhwan, and from the instances and the well-known narrations connected to the life or the early life of the Messenger ﷺ, is that which occurred with what is known as Harb al-Fijar. Harb al-Fijar was a war that took place during the youth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the scholars differ concerning the age of the messenger when it took place. What is very common is that it is mentioned that it took place when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 15 years old, and that is what is commonly mentioned concerning this occurrence. And it was a war that took place, ikhwan, among some of the tribes of Quraysh alongside Kinana and a tribe known as the tribe of Hawazin. And it occurred and it began and it was initiated off the back of a foolish occurrence, and that was the taking of a life of an individual by one who was known to be treacherous. And that is, ikhwan, that there was a leader known as Nu'man ibn al-Munzir. Nu'man ibn al-Munzir, he was in charge of a region of Hira, and he would send caravans for the purpose of trade. And of course, ikhwan, those caravans would leave the region of Makkah and head towards Sham, and would have to cross certain regions. And when they would cross those certain regions, they would have to cross and pass certain tribes. And so when they, prior to them setting out, Nu'man ibn al-Mundhir, he said, I made an announcement, who will protect my merchandise from Kinana? Who will protect my merchandise from Kinana? Kinana has a connection to Quraysh. And so an individual from among those who were present, known as Barad ibn Qais, who was a treacherous, a conniving, evil individual, well known. He said, I will protect your merchandise from Kinana. And so he said, and who will protect my merchandise from the rest of the tribes? And so an individual known as Urwa ibn Utba, he said, and since individuals were indicating him that he's the best man for the job, he said, I will. And so in an act of treachery and trickery, when the merchandise set out, Barad, who had made the statement that I'll protect the merchandise from the tribe of Kinana, he set a plan and a plot and a scheme to take and to steal the merchandise after it passed the region of Kinana. And that is by plotting to kill Urwa ibn Utba. And so he made out that I am from those who will protect the merchandise, and then Urwa ibn Utba will guarantee our protection, or the merchandise's protection, from the other tribes. And so once the merchandise passed the region of Kinana and it went into the jurisdiction of Urwa and the custody of Urwa, Barat ibn Qais, he plotted for Urwa and killed him. Now since Urwa was a man of respect and honor, and likewise Nu'man, and it was his merchandise, was a man of respect and honor, and the killing took place in a region outside of Kinana. In Kinana they were affiliates of Quraysh, and it took place in the regions of Hawazin, the tribes of Hawazin. It sparked contention between Kinana and Quraysh and Hawazin. That tension led to one of the worst wars that the Arabian Peninsula has seen, and that was the Battle of Fijar. And it was one of the worst, most evil, most violent wars that the Arabian Peninsula has seen. And in fact, some describe it as the worst war that they have seen. The Prophet ﷺ during the war was still a young boy, and it was one that went on for a period. As far as the war is concerned, Then there were many attempts at ceasing or calling for a ceasefire and trying to establish pacts and treaties between them that were to little avail. And then eventually the uncles of the Prophet ﷺ were responsible for ceasing the war of Fijar. They were responsible for ceasing the war. And the Prophet ﷺ was present during the war itself. The Prophet ﷺ was present during the treaty and during the pact. The reason we mention the occurrence is because of the fact that it is oftentimes mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ participated in the war, and you'll read it in many of the books of Sirah. Now the Prophet ﷺ participated in the war of Fijar, and that he was 15 years old. What is most correct is that the Prophet ﷺ was present at the treaty that stopped the war, and his age was 10 years old. And that is what was most correct concerning the affair and the occurrence and the instance of the war of Al-Fijar. Na'am, he was present at the pact, he was present at it ceasing, and he made in that regard the following statement that occurs in the hadith of Abdul Rahman ibn Awf. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, shahidtu hilaf al-mutayyibin ma'umumati wa ana ghulam fama uhibbu anna li humru an-na'am an ankuthahu. He said that I witnessed and I was present at the treaty of the good ones. And what is intended by the treaty of the good ones is the treaty that took place among the responsible, upright uncles of the Messenger, and the paternal uncles of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who acted responsibly, and so it was referred to as the treaty of the mutayyibin, the good ones. And I was a young boy at that time. Rasulullah was present, and he said, and I would not give red camels to have missed it. Neither would I advocate breaking the treaty. Would I have advocated breaking that pact and breaking that treaty. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he was present, but he did not participate in the battle of Fijar, as is oftentimes mentioned in the books of Sirah. Another one of the issues related to the early life of the Prophet ﷺ is that which is related, ikhwan, to the marriage of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Of course, from the affairs related to the early life of the Prophet ﷺ is the fact that he was married to Khadija bint Khuwaylid. And what you will almost always read is that the Prophet ﷺ was 25 when he married Khadija. She was attracted to him in that he was responsible for some of her trade. And she saw from him trustworthiness and uprightness and the fulfillment of trust and what have you. And so she was attracted by that, even though many of the notables of Quraysh had desired her and desired to marry her. She herself was attracted to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her, even though she was 40 years old. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her at the age of 25. Na'am, it is regularly mentioned. As far as the reality, ikhwan, then in terms of the age of Khadija, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her, then nothing is established in that regard. There are three main positions, in fact four. The first of them, which is possibly the most popular, was that she was 40 years old. And that is mentioned in a narration that is not established at all. Yani this the narration that she was some 40 years old when the Prophet ﷺ married her. Similarly, from the ages that are mentioned concerning Khadija was that she was 35 years old when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her. That too is not established. Thirdly, that Khadija was 28 years old when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her, and that is regularly mentioned, and is oftentimes mentioned in some of the books and some of the earlier books of Seer, even though it too is not established. And then we have a mention of 25, but those first three ages, that is 40, 35 and 28, are three ages that are mentioned concerning the age of Khadija radiallahu anha, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her. As far as those three ages are concerned, then the scholars discuss the fact that those three ages are none of them established, but Al-Imam Ibn Ishaq, he mentioned the age of 28, and he debates that she was actually 28 when the affair took place, that is, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he married her. And from the A'imma are those who argue that that is the most correct, or that is the best of the statements. As we mentioned, none of them are authentic. And so in order to come to what appears to be most correct, the scholars strive and make ijtihad and look at the qara'in and the factors at what would indicate the age that she actually was when the Prophet ﷺ married her. And the age of 28 is a stronger position than the age of 40, and that is for numerous reasons that the people of knowledge mention. From those reasons is that what is oftentimes mentioned concerning her age when she passed away is that she was 65. When in actuality, from among the people of knowledge, from among the A'imma, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim and others, they discuss the age of Khadija radiallahu anha when she passed away, and the fact that she was in actuality closer to 50, or she hadn't reached 50 in what is most correct, when she passed away. And that would necessitate then, and yani, part of the argument of those who hold that she was actually 28 and not 40, is that if we look at the average age that women reach menopause, then it is oftentimes before the age of 50 with many women. But the ages of 50 and thereabout is ordinarily the age of menopause. Now, and we don't have anything that establishes that Khadija radiallahu anha, she reached menopause before she passed away. But working with the average age, yani those are, that period or that time is the average age that women reach menopause. And that would necessitate, similarly, if we look at the narrations that mention that she passed away before she reached the age of 50, that would necessitate that the six children of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he had, all of them with Khadija, yani Kulthum, Fatima, Qasim, Ruqayya, other than Ibrahim, Abdullah, Ibrahim he had for Maria, Qibtiyya, but the six children that he had, that they had those six children in a period of about 10 years. It is not impossible. But if we're going to use the present factors to hold one position over another in terms of when they married, when we're looking at the fact that the age of 40 is not established, the age of 28 is not established, but it is better in terms of weakness, it is better than the narrations that mention 40, number one. And number two, in terms of the likelihood of what would have occurred, then the age of 28 is more likely for them to have the 6 children that they had, it is more likely that the age of 28 is most correct than the age of 40. And that those 6 children occurred between the ages of 28 to 50, which is more possible and more likely, since none of them are authentic, and that is more likely to have been the case than the age of 40. And thus, from Ahl al-Ilm and those who hold that actually she was 28, as we mentioned, none of them are established with anything authentic, but that which is more accurate is that she was 28 years old. And it is mentioned, Ikhwan, by one of the greatest of the scholars of Maghazi and Siyar, one of the greatest of the scholars that discussed the affair of Sirah and history and Tariq and the story of the Messenger of Allah, one of the earliest of the scholars, and that is Al-Imam Ibn Ishaq. And so he mentions that actually she was 28. That she was 28. And that is something similarly that is mentioned by Al-Imam Hakim in his Mustadrak. And so the issue is one that we mentioned, because again it is something that you'll find in almost every book of Sirah, but nothing from it is established, but the age of 28 is more possible and viable than the age of 40. Now, another issue, Ikhwan, and we'll round up perhaps in this session with this issue, and that is the affair of the placing of the stone of the Kaaba, yani the black stone, into the Kaaba itself. You, I'm sure, are acquainted with the fact that the Prophet ﷺ, during his lifetime, the Kaaba was rebuilt, and that occurred when the Prophet ﷺ was somewhere in the region of 35 years old. So we're drawing closer to the era and closer to the period wherein the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he received revelation. When he was some 35 years old, the tribe of Quraysh, Ikhwan, after rebuilding the Kaaba, they disputed concerning who should place the black stone into its place in the Kaaba itself. And so, while they disputed, or when they disputed, they said, we should make a judge that will determine between us. And they said, after disputing over who that judge should be, they said, the first man that enters that fajj, that is, the first man that walks in from that gap between two mountains, he should be the judge between us. And so, as occurs, Ikhwan, in the hadith of Sa'ib ibn Abdullah, who mentioned, فَجَاءَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he entered, and they said, أَتَاكُمُ الْأَمِينَ. He said, الْأَمِينَ has come to you. الْأَمِينَ has come to you. فَقَالُوا لَهُ فَوَدَعَهُ فِي ثَوْبٍ ثُمَّ دَعَى بِطُونَهُمْ فَدَعَ بُطُونَهُمْ فَرَفَعُوا بِنَوَاحِيهِ مَعَهُ فَوَدَعَهُ هُوَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And so he decided that the best means, or the best judgment between them, is that you should be on two sides of the stone, that we should have between the two of you a thobe or a garment, a piece of cloth. Some of you should hold one end of the garment. Another from among you, or the other, a party from among you, hold the other end. We place the black stone in the middle of that garment that you are both holding. And then the Prophet ﷺ himself was between them and the garment, and he was the one that placed the black stone into the Kaaba. And so the black stone, Ikhwan, it was established by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is as though all of these affairs were from the preliminary affairs and those things that led up to the Prophet ﷺ becoming the Messenger of Allah and receiving the wahi. After this period, ikhwan, from the period of the age of 35, the Prophet ﷺ, after there was something of a break in those strange occurrences happening with the Messenger ﷺ, issues that caused the tribe of Quraysh to know that he was special and there was something about him, those affairs had eased up and had ceased for the most part. But when he reached the age of 35 and there and after, there were numerous occurrences that began to appear and make themselves manifest. And we'll discuss them inshaAllah in the next session. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa akhir da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.